Welcome to Zichru Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. So the three topics are going to focus on number one. The opening mission of the 20th Perek in Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amed Beis introduced the Machlokes regarding pouring into a suspended strainer. Rabbi Yezer said that one may pour into the strainer even on Shabbos and certainly on Yantav, while the Chachamim hold that one may not pour into the strainer on Shabbos, but may pour it into on Yantav. The Gemara seeks to clarify which of malacha one must warn someone with who is about to strain wine on Shabbos according to the Chachamim who forbid it. Rabba says it's more reasonable to say borer, for just as borer involves taking the food and leaving the undesired matter behind, so to hear straining wine takes the food and leaves the undesired matter behind. Rabbi Zera says it's more reasonable to say merakit, sifting, for just as sifting results in the undesired matter remaining on top while the food falls below, so too straining wine results in the undesired dregs remaining on top of the strainer with the wine below. Point number two, the Gemara notes a contradiction between Rav Sheshes, the son of Ravidi, who states that a felt hat, a siyana, is permitted to be worn on Shabbos, and a brisa that states is prohibited to wear. The Gemara concludes that Rav Sheshes was dealing with a hat that is fitted tightly, whereas the brisa was referring to a hat that was loose. Since there is a concern that a loosely fit hat could fall off, the Rabbanan prohibited wearing it lest one comes to carry it, Dalad Amos, in Rishus HaRabim. And point number three, it was taught in the Braisa that when the Rabbanan entered Karen B'Yavna, they said, Asida Torah Shetishtachach Yisrael, the Torah will eventually be forgotten from Yisrael, as it stated, Hine Yamim Baim Num Hashem Elkim, Bishlachti Ra'a Ba'arz, behold, days are coming, declares Hashem, that I will send a hunger into the land, Lo Ra'a B'Lalechem, Lo Tzamu L'Mayim, Kim Lishmo Des Divrei Hashem, not a hunger for bread and not a thirst for water, but to hear the words of Hashem. It was taught in a different Braisa that Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai says, Chas v'shalom shitishtachach Torah Yisrael. Heaven forbid that the Torah will be forgotten from Yisrael, as it says, ki lo tishachach mipi zaro, for it will not be forgotten from the mouth of the nation's offspring. He interprets a prophecy from Amos, which states, they shall wander to seek the word of Hashem, but shall not find it, to mean that they will not find halacha brur or mishnah brur b'makam echad, clear halacha and clear teachings in one place. Rashi explains that clear halacha means a consensus of the reasons behind various rulings. Once again, the three points are number one. The opening mission of the 20th Perek on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis introduced the Machlokes regarding pouring into a suspended strainer. Rabbi Lezer said that one may pour into the strainer even on Shabbos and certainly on Yantav, while the Chachamim hold that one may not pour into the strainer on Shabbos, but may pour into it on Yantav. The Gemara seeks to clarify which of malacha one must warn someone with who's about to strain wine on Shabbos according to the Chachamim who forbid it. Rabba says it's more reasonable to say borer, for just as borer involves taking the food and leaving the undesired matter behind, so to hear, straining wine takes the food and leaves the undesired matter behind. Rabbi Zera says it's more reasonable to say merakid, sifting, for just as sifting results in the undesired matter remaining on top while the food falls below, so too straining wine results in the undesired dregs remaining on top of the strainer with the wine below. Point number two, the Gemara notes the contradiction between Rav Sheshes, the son of Rav Idi, who states that a felt hat, a siyana, is permitted to be worn on Shabbos, and a brisa that states that it's prohibited to wear it. The Gemara concludes that Rav Sheshes was dealing with a hat that's fitted tightly, whereas the brisa was referring to a hat that was loose. Since there's a concern that a loosely fit hat could fall off, the Rabbanan prohibited wearing it lest one comes to carry it, Dalad Amos, in Rishus HaRabim. And point number three was taught in a brisa that when the Rabbanan entered Karen B'Yavna, they said, Asida Torah Shetishtachach Yisrael, the Torah will eventually be forgotten from Yisrael, as it is stated, Hine yamim baim nu'um Hashem elkim, vishlachti ra'av ba'aretz. Behold, days are coming, declares Hashem, that I will send a hunger into the land. O ra'av alalechem v'lotzamu l'mayim, kim u'shmo as divrei Hashem, not a hunger for bread, and not a thirst for water, but to hear the words of Hashem. It was taught in a different price, said that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, Chas v'shalom shetishachach Torah Yisrael. Heaven forbid that Torah be forgotten from Yisrael, as it says, Ki lo tishachach mipi zaro, for it shall not be forgotten from the mouth of the nation's offspring. He interprets a prophecy from Amos which states, they shall wander to seek the word of Hashem, but shall not find it, to mean they will not find halacha brur or mishnah brur, but makam echad, clear halacha and clear teachings in one place. Rashi explains that clear halacha means a consensus for the reasons behind various rulings. All right, so now we go to our sim for Kuf Lamed Ches, and the most popular suggestion was stalks, like a kelach, where we had stalks of wheat, celery, cabbage. Then we had a kalaki baby, tax collector. We had kelach like a shower. We had a clucking noise. We had a stick shift with a clutch. We had clocks. We had a chalak, like a portion of an inheritance, or a shoichet with a chalak knife. But I'm going to go with a suggestion that comes from Rabbi Abba Levin from Melbourne, Australia, and David Samuels from Johannesburg, South Africa, who suggested a maror stock for a siman for Kufra Menche. So that's going to be it. Thank you, Rabbi Levin and David, for that suggestion. So here goes. The man pouring crushed maror stalks and maror juice into the suspended strainer tied his felt hat on very tightly because he heard it's a segula to not forget the Torah in the future. Once again, in slow motion. The man pouring crushed maror stalks, that must be more duff, kuvomet ches. The man pouring crushed maror stalks and maror juice into the suspended strainer, which reminds us, the opening mission of the 20th parak on duff, kuvomet zayin amet beis, introduced the machlokas regarding pouring into a suspended strainer. Rabbi Yezra said that one may pour into the strainer even on Shabbos and certainly on Yantiv, while the Chachamim hold that one may not pour into the strainer on Shabbos, but may pour into it on Yantiv. The Gemara seeks to clarify which of Malacha one must warn someone with who is about to strain wine on Shabbos, according to the Chachamim who forbid it. So Rabbi says it's more reasonable to say borer, for just as borer involves taking the food and leaving the undesired matter behind, so too here straining wine takes the food and leaves the undesired matter behind. Zera says it's more reasonable to say merakid, sifting, for just as sifting results in the undesired matter remaining on top while the food falls below, so too straining wine results in the undesired dregs remaining on top of the strainer with the wine below. So the man pouring crushed maror stalks and maror juice into the suspended strainer tied his felt hat on very tightly, which reminds us the Gemara notes the contradiction between Rav Sheshes, the son of Rav Edi, who states that a felt hat, siana, is permitted to be worn on Shabbos, and a braisa states it's prohibited to wear it. The Gemara concludes Rav Sheshes was dealing with a hat that is fitted tightly, whereas the braisa was referring to a hat that was loose. Since there's a concern that a loosely fit hat could fall off, the Rabbanim prohibited wearing it, lest one comes to carry a dalet amos in Rishus HaRabim. So the man pouring crushed maror stalks and maror juice into suspended strainer tied his felt hat on very tightly because he heard it's a segula to not forget Torah in the future. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Brisa that when the Rabbanim entered Karen B'Yavne, they said, Asida Torah shetishtachach miYisrael, the Torah will eventually be forgotten from Yisrael. As it stated, Hine yamim baim nu'um Hashem elkim, bishalachti ra'ab ba'aretz, behold, days are coming, declares Hashem, that I will send a hunger into the land. Lo ra'ab alalechem v'otzamo lemayim, ki mishmo as divrei Hashem, not a hunger for bread, and not a thirst for water, but to hear the words of Hashem. It was taught in a different Brisa that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, Chas v'shalom shetishtachach Torah miYisrael, heaven forbid that the Torah would be forgotten from Yisrael. As it says, Ki yot tishachach mipizaro, for it shall not be forgotten from the mouth of the nation's offspring. He interprets a prophecy from Amos which states, they shall wander to seek the word of Hashem, but shall not find it, to mean they will not find halacha brura, but mishnah brura, but makam echad, clear halacha and clear teachings in one place. Rashi explains that a clear halacha means a consensus of the reasons behind various rulings. So once again, the man pouring crushed maror stalks and maror juice into the suspended strainer tied his felt hat on very tightly because he heard it's a segula to not forget the Torah in the future. All right, now it's time for a four blah bah chazara. Daf kufla medalad. So the symbol for kufla medalad is a cloud. So here goes. The cumin-colored cloud. Cloud, that must be more daf kufla medalad. The cumin-colored cloud, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brice that states, Devarim shein osin l'mila b'shabbos, osin l'b'yantav. Things that we may not do for Mila on a Shabbos, we may do on a Yantiv, such as crushing cumin and vigorously mixing together oil and wine. The Mishnah earlier forbid these two actions be done on Shabbos. Abai asked Rav Yosef that just as it's mutter to crush cumin on Yantiv because it's permitted to do malach on Yantiv, if it's for the purpose of eating, so too it should be permitted to vigorously mix oil and wine on Shabbos because it's fit to be used for a sick person. Rashi explains, the Gemara is referring to a chol she'ein bo sakana, a sick person who is not in danger, since any malach can be done for a chol she'yesh bo sakana, a person who is dangerously ill. So Rav Yosef answers that the Brice is dealing with preparing medication for sick people, which doesn't require vigorous mixing. Our Mishnah is addressing preparing medication for a mila, which does require vigorous mixing, and therefore it's forbidden to do on Shabbos. So the cumin-colored cloud gave the infant a yellowish hue. So they decided to delay the bris, which reminds us, Abai shares many pieces of advice that his adopted mother gave him regarding treating infants with various ailments. The final piece of advice was that if an infant whose body is a reddish hue, it's because the blood is not absorbed into his flesh. Rush explains that his blood is located between the skin and the flesh, and the child might bleed to death from the circumcision. Therefore, one should wait to perform the circumcision until his blood is absorbed in his flesh. Similarly, if an infant's body has a yellow hue, it's due to the infant being blood deficient. Rashi explains that this condition leaves him very weak with the risk of death from the circumcision. Therefore, one should wait until the infant is full-blooded and then circumcise him. So the cumin-colored cloud gave the infant a yellowish hue. So they decided to delay the bris just as they were sprinkling hot water on the baby by hand. Which reminds me, the next Mishnah introduces Malchukas regarding bathing an infant before and after Mila. The Tanakhama holds Marchitzin as a cotton. One may bathe an infant in hot water on Shabbos, both before and after the Mila, and Mazalfin al-Biyad of Lobakeli. And he may sprinkle hot water on the infant by hand, but not with utensil. When Elazman Azariah says Marchitzin is a cotton, we may wash the infant on the third day following the Mila if it occurs on Shabbos, for it stated regarding the Bnei Shechem, Yibiyom HaShlishim Yosim Koavim, and it came to pass on the third day when they were in pain. Daf Kuf Lamed Hei, so the simon for Kuf Lamed Hei is Kola, so here goes. The cheap kosher brand Kola, that must mean run Daf Kuf Lamed Hei. The cheap kosher brand Kola served in abundance at the Hataf is dumb for the child born Mahol, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brice that teaches that the word Orla So, his foreskin, is coming to exclude several cases in which performing meal on Shabbos is not permitted. One of the cases is one who is born Mahol, circumcised. The brice states that Beis Shammai holds that one who is born Mahol still requires Hataf is dumb, the drawing of blood, whereas Beis Hillel does not. Rashi explains that Beis Shammai requires Hataf is dumb because perhaps the baby has an oral kavusha, a suppressed orla. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that a child born Mahol requires Hataf is dumb. They disagree in the case of a ger who converted when he was already circumcised. Beis Shammai requires Hataf is dumb, and Beis Hillel does not. In this case, there is no concern of an oral kavusha. The Hataf is dumb here represents a symbolic act of entering the bris. So the cheap kosher brand Kola, served in abundance at the Hataf is dumb for the child born Mahol, was left over from the first day C-section bris, which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi stated a rule, Koshi imo tamei aleidan nimo ishmona. Any newborn whose mother becomes tamei due to childbirth is circumcised on the eighth day. But koshi ein imo tamei aleidan ein nimo ishmona. While any newborn whose mother does not become tamei due to childbirth, for example, a woman who had a cesarean birth, is not circumcised on the eighth day, but rather on the first day. He learns it from the juxtaposition of the pasuk, Isha ki zazria v'yalda zakar v'tama. When a woman conceives and gives birth to a male, she shall be tamei. With the pasuk, and on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. So the cheap kosher brand Kola, served in abundance at the Hataf is dumb for the child born Mahol, was left over from the first day C-section bris for the cute little Evakanani baby. Which reminds us, a brice is brought that discusses when the Mila for a baby Evakanani is performed and distinguishes between a Yilid Bais, a child born to a Shifchu who is the property of a Jewish master, and a Mikne Kes of a slave that was purchased. According to the Tanakhama, if one bought a shivcha who was pregnant at the time, and she later gave birth to a boy, this is a case of a mikne kesef that is circumcised on the eighth day. If one bought the shivcha and her child along with her, then this is a case of a mikne kesef that is circumcised on the first day. If one bought a shivcha and she became pregnant while in his possession and gave birth, this is a case of a yilid bais, a slave that is born in the house, who is circumcised on the eighth day. The Gemara later on discusses the fourth case of Yilid Bais that is circumcised on the first day. Rav Chama disagrees and has a different understanding of these four cases. Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. So the symbol Kuf Lamed Vav is a clue. So here goes. The clue. Clue. That must mean Ron Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. The clue in the case of the missing eight-day-old infant turned up when the Moyo claimed he was just cutting meat, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa on Daf Kuf Lamed Hey Amid Beis that Rav Shimon Gamliel says that any human newborn that survives for 30 days is not suspected of being a nefil, a non-viable child. As the Pasuk states regarding the mitzvah of redeeming a Bechor, v'fuduyum miben chodesh tifte. Those that are to be redeemed, you shall redeem from the age of a month. The Gemara questions this ruling since this implies that we doubt the viability of a child less than 30 days old. And if so, we should be prohibited from performing a meal on Shabbos for fear that the newborn might be a nefil, which does not have a mitzvah of mila. Rav Adar Bar Ava answered that Shabbos is not violated no matter what status we give the child. Im chayu shapar kamal. If he is a viable child, then it was proper to have the meal on Shabbos. Im lav mechatuk babasuhu. And if not, one is merely cutting meat when he circumcises it, which does not violate Shabbos. So the clue in the case of the missing eight-day-old infant turned up when the moyo claimed he was just cutting meat turned out to be a kohen betrothed to the mother, which reminds us, if an infant who was the sole surviving child of his dead father died within 30 days of his birth, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would say that we are concerned that the newborn was a nefil, and therefore it's a possibility that his wife had no children from the deceased husband and she cannot get married until she does Yibum or Chalitza. So the Gemara asks, what if this baby's mother went ahead and became a Kudeshes, betrothed to a man, even though she was not allowed to, as the baby might have been a nefil? Ravina said in the name of Rava, if she was mekudeshes to Yisrael, who's permitted to marry a woman who has undergone chalitza, then we tell her now to do chalitza. However, if she was mekudeshes to a kohen, whom the Rabban is not permitted to marry a chalitza, we do not make her undergo a chalitza, because then she would become forbidden to her husband. Rashi explains that in this case of the kohen, we rely on the opinion of the Rabban who disagree with Rabban Shimon Gamliel, and do not question the viability of a newborn less than 30 days old. Rav Shuvi in the name of Rava said that in both cases, the woman must undergo chalitza, since the halacha follows Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. So the clue in the case of the missing 8-day-old infant turned up, when the moel claimed he was just cutting meat, turned out to be a kohen betrothed to the mother, and wasn't a definite male. Which reminds us, a malchokos was introduced in the Mishnah Daf Kuflam Adalet Amah Beis, whether one performs mila for an androgynous on Shabbos. Which reminds us, a malchokos was introduced in the Mishnah A daf kuflam adalet amid beis, whether one performs mila for an androgynous on Shabbos. The Rabban forbidden Rabbi Yehuda permits it because he holds that an androgynous is a male. Rav Shivzi said in the name of Chissa that Rabbi Yehuda does not consider an androgynous a definite male in all cases. For it was taught in a brisa in the Sifra, a collection of brises on Sefer Vayikra, that only a zachar vadai nekev vadais, a definite male and a definite female, bring an erech vow, not a tumtum or androgynous. And Stam Sifra, Rabbi Yehuda, an anonymous brisa in the Sifra reflects a view of Rabbi Yehuda. Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin, so the sim for Kuf Lamed Zayin is a closet, so here goes. The embarrassed father hid in the closet. Closet, that must mean run Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. The embarrassed father hid in the closet after he realized the meal was done on Shabbos for the wrong baby. Which reminds us, the next mission in the Perek states that if one had two infants to circumcise, one who turns 8 days old after Shabbos, and the other turns 8 days old on Shabbos, and he forgot which one was which, and he circumcised the one due after Shabbos on Shabbos, he's chai for being machal Shabbos b'shogeg. Rashi explains that he was taught by the bar mitzvah, v'lo as a mitzvah. He was occupied in doing a mitzvah, but didn't actually do a mitzvah. Instead, he wounded the baby on Shabbos, and therefore he's liable chatas for chovel, for wounding. If one infant turns 8 days old on Erev Shabbos, and one turned 8 days old on Shabbos, and he switched them, and did the one who turned 8 days old on Erev Shabbos on Shabbos, Rabbi Ezer says he's chai v'chatas, Rabbi Yeshua says he's pater. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Ezer, even though he did the mitzvah of mila, doing mila for an infant over 8 days old is not tocher Shabbos. Rabbi Yeshua, however, holds that he was taught by the bar mitzvah, v'asa mitzvah. He was occupied in doing a mitzvah, and he did do the mitzvah of mila, and therefore he's exempt. So the embarrassed father hid in the closet after he realized the meal was done on Shabbos for the wrong baby, whose bris would have been on the 12th day, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, that it's possible for a child to have meal performed on the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th day, but not earlier or later. The meal is on the 9th if he was born Bein HaShemashos. It's on the 10th if he was born on Bein HaShemashos of Erev Shabbos. It's on the 11th if, in the previous case, the day after Shabbos is Yantav, and then on the 12th if the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah follow Shabbos. So the embarrassed father hid in the closet after he realized the meal was done on Shabbos for the wrong baby, whose bris should have been on the 12th day, and no one could find him when it came time for the bracha. Which reminds us, the bris records the various brachas and tefillahs which were recited at bris. The moel makes the bracha al hamila, on the circumcision. The aviyah ben makes the bracha lachniso bevriso she'avim avinu. Those standing there respond, k'shem she'niknas of bris, ken yechanas l'torah chup maisim tovim, just as he has entered the bris, so may he enter the Torah Chuppah and the performance of good deeds. And then someone appointed makes the bracha, Asher Kiddush Yedid Mibetan, who is sanctified, the beloved one from the womb. Rashi explains that this is referring to Yitzchak, who was sanctified in the womb for this mitzvah, since the year before his birth, Avram was told to circumcise his son. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Masechus Brachos. Number 1, which have we discuss which malacha one is violating for straining wine on Shabbos? That's on Daf. Kuflam Ches. Good number 2. Which stuff do we discuss how a bris can be performed on Shabbos according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who holds a baby less than 30 days old is a Safik Nefil? That's on Daf. Kuflam Vav. Good number 3. Which stuff do we learn that a felt hat needs to be put on snug to wear in Rishus of Rabin? That's on Daf. Kuflam Ches. Good number 4. Which stuff do we discuss when a bris is done for an Ebek Kanani baby? That's on Daf. Kuflamet Hey. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we learn that meal can be performed on the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th day, but not earlier or later? That's on Daf. Kuflamet Zayin. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we learn one should delay a bris if the baby is reddish or yellow? That's on Daf. Kufa Medal. Good number 7. Which stuff do we discuss the brachas that are recited at a bris mila? That's on Daf. Kufa Medzayin. Good number 8. Which stuff we have a question about? Taf as dam is done for a child born Maul. That's on Daf. Kufa Medhe. Good number 9. Which stuff do we learn that one can crush cumin for a bris on Yantiv? That's on Daf. Kuflam Adalad, good. And finally, question number 10. Which stuff we learn pshat in the pasuk Zeh Kelivan Vehu? That's on Daf. Kuflam Gimel, good. Now we go to the three bonus questions of Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn the final words that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Eliezer said to their Talmidim? That's on Daf. Chavches, good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn the sources for Lechem Mishnah? That's on Daf. Lamatesk. Good. And finally, question number 3. Which stuff do you learn the Borei Marei Eish is recited on a light that was lit for illumination? That's on Daf. Nun Gimel. Excellent. That concludes our pop quiz, plus the three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldham. Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.